your presence. That's where I want to be.
Good morning. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." And boy, have we all been studying. A lot of us know what's going on in the world, but the last 3 or 4 years, I've been studying on what's going on in the church as well. And we found out a lot of the things that we thought was scriptural, we found has been added on. And then we found some things it's been subtracted from. And so we want to stay right in the middle of the road. And I want to start off today with an article, Pathways to Apostasy. Apostasy means the falling away. Now, there is a falling away. We're in it now. A lot of people think it's revival, but it's a revival of the occult. It's revival of mysticism. It's revival of the Kundalini. A lot of different things. We've all been a part of it. We've been coming out. The Lord's been gracious to let us see. And this morning, I got to throw out another book. And guess what? Whose book this was? Mine. The one I wrote. No Flesh Shall Glory. There's great things in there about no flesh shall glory, and I've always wanted God to get the glory, but as I reread it this morning, I quoted people in there now that I've seen history of who they really are, the Latter Rain movement. I said, let's get rid of every single one of those books. I'm keeping it now, and I might preach out of it for what not to do. I wrote that in the 80s, but just say we are all learning. And I know the YouTube people too were just like, wow, we have to keep walking with the Lord, and He is definitely separating truth from error. And it's painful because we have to really examine ourselves. But with that, there comes a freedom. And so one of the guys that I really like is Roger Oakland, and he has come out of the Catholic Church, but he's also seeing the trends that are happening now in our churches. And I really believe the way the early church began, we're going to probably end in our homes. Because we are not a building. We are the church. And we have started worshiping our buildings, and we've, you know, and I've had a wonderful building in my past and done a lot of this stuff, but we have to know we are the church. We have to obey God and do what He wants us to do. And when religions or spirits get bad in places, we have to know it's okay to leave. And this is some of the trends that are happening in the mainstream media churches right now, okay? Because if you don't know, some of the things I've been studying on is the infiltration of Christianity and how the Freemasons have come in. This has gone on for years and years and years. And we get saved. We're so hungry for God. We go to every meeting. We do everything. We buy every book. I mean, I probably had thousands of dollars worth of books. We hauled from place to place to place that I've gotten rid of now. I was like, it just makes you mad because you're hungry for the Lord, but these systems have been set up. And if you don't study some of these things that we've been studying about the emergent church, the progressive church, all these different trends, you don't realize that this has been infiltrating Christianity. They're after the youth. And so anyway, these are a couple of the trends. He talks about it a lot more in depth, but I've just taken just the highlights of this. Ecumenical unity at any cost. What is ecumenic? I hate that word. Ecumenical, what does it mean? It means worldwide Christian unity. Worldwide Christian unity or cooperation. And this is going into the one world religion. This is going to happen. The Bible says it's going to happen. And we're living in the day that we are seeing it happen. Unity at any cost. And they're compromising truth just to say we must all come into one. So this is one of the first ones. Ecumenical unity at any cost, yet completely void of any connection to the message that Jesus died on the cross. Another one, the church growth movement. This is a trend which is focused on a market-driven, seeker-friendly Christianity emphasizing a megachurch mentality, which means bigger is better, to get in all the people. But what do? They bring in skits and all these other things to what? Bring down the Bible, water it down little by little. It's just entertainment and it's fun, but we need the Word of God. The Word of God is what's going to stain us for what's coming in the future, what's coming on this planet. We live in a different world than we did even 5 years ago. The world and all the people in it, the television, everything that's going on, we are living in a different world. And the church growth movement is part of that. Bigger is better. That's a trend, a Christianity focused on following men. We were raised 70s and 80s and 90s. You put up certain preachers, which we're finding now all came from the latter. A lot of them came from the latter rain movement. Study that out. So I've done some YouTubes on that. Boy, some hard truth. What is that? They actually mixed in mysticism and occultism, the whole William Branham. When we were taught that he was really a man of God, when you go and you look at his grave, you'll see the Freemason sign. You'll see all of his occultish background, that he had power, but it wasn't a pure power from God. He had an angel that spoke to him, which we are seeing a revival of this occultism once again. Following men. So we have to, you know, men didn't save you. So you have to follow Jesus. We have to follow him. Keep our eyes on him. When we were coming up in these movements, we wanted a big church. We wanted all the people to come. It was so exciting. And now I've learned, beware when Christianity becomes popular. Because true Christianity is not popular. It never will be popular with the things of the world. Then another trend is everything's going back to Rome, uniting with the Catholics, uniting with the Pope, the Pulse movement. It's a Jesuit. Now study what the Jesuits are. The Jesuit agenda, promoted by publishers and pastors, proclaiming the teachings and ideals of Roman Catholic Church fathers and Roman Catholic mystics. So now we're getting in mysticism. Contemplative prayer stations, having encounter with God stations. All this stuff is happening, and it's definitely a sign of a revival of the occult. Another one is the rejection of biblical creation and the acceptance of evolution and progressive creation. Mother Gaia, it's even on the Starbucks cup, worship the earth. The acceptance of the New Age ancient Babylonian practices, such as yoga. A lot of people don't realize yoga in India is, what they did was they would prepare for death because they believe in reincarnation. So every pose is to a different god. Big now in a lot of churches. Contemplative prayer is a means of getting closer to Jesus. A lot of this is all emotionalism, trying to feel God. And basically it's not with the Bible. It's doing it, having experiments, and having your own favorite guru lead you in to a new presence. A false Christianity that substitutes the gospel according to the scriptures with a social gospel. We're seeing this huge right now. What is a social gospel? It's to get rid of the social evils by human effort. And there are some things we should do. There are some things we should do to help people as part of being a human and a person, to love people and help them. But they're coming into the churches now, and what's happening is that is overshadowing the Bible. This is definitely another infiltration to take away the true gospel, to bring a substitute in. Another trend, the purpose-driven, everyone knows purpose-driven, peace plan that prepares the church for a global one-world religion. And the sad part is some of these preachers are good preachers. They are entertaining. They have truth mixed in. And if you are not discerning, you will be taken away by the purpose-driven movement. Another is an experience-based Christianity that seeks after signs and wonders and rejects the biblical warnings of a last day's, what is the last day? Spiritual deception. Matthew 24, three times, beware lest any man deceive you. Why? What's coming on the earth? Deception in the name of Christ. Spiritual deception. A lot of us know what's going on in the world. We're preparing for that, but do you know what's going on in the church? And that's the main thing. We have to know what is going on in the church. What is good? What is bad? What is truth? What is twisted? It's a strong delusion, the Bible says, because they receive not the love of the truth. Many people now want experiences. They want to feel. And all these things, our feelings, as we know, can lead us astray. Many of you did drugs before you were saved. Hopefully you're not doing them anymore. But what happened, you just sought experiences. And people are coming to churches now and they want a high. They want experiences. And they're going off into a lot of different things and they're forgetting the Bible. They're actually saying the Bible is old. It's dusty. It's outdated. Forget that. And I always think of Revelations 22. Beware when people take away what the Bible says. You're going to have to stand before God for putting down His word. This is our book. The New Age belief that man is a co-creator and that every person has divinity within him. Now, a lot of people know that NAR is wrong, New Apostolic Reformation. That one I don't get any pushback, but the pushback I get is they do not know that the Word of Faith is also part of that movement. The apostles came, and now we have men of God that are hearing new extra-biblical revelations, basically about prayer. You don't need to pray. Now you declare, you decree. It's you are a co-creator. You have a divinity. You are God's. You are little gods. Well, then a lot of people didn't believe that, so they kind of hushed it. But if you go back to some of these original, they will say Jesus had to die and get born again in hell so that you can be just like Jesus on the earth. Well, guess what? He is Jesus and you are not. And neither am I. So we are still walking by faith. We need faith, but faith has been perverted to be a force. Faith is not a force. Faith is a relationship. It's trusting in Him. Amen. But a lot of this comes, it's all New Age under different faith teachings. And I used to go to these meetings and go, what is faith? I'm so confused. It's simply believe the Bible. Faith comes by hearing the word. We trust in Him. It's simplicity of the gospel. We've made it hard and complicated because we've tried to become the law of attraction, which is really very, very sad. But it's basically the New Age. It's one step. Now there's other steps, baby steps, going into the Antichrist one world religion. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. But many people are not aware of these trends, and we've been studying them for the last 3 years. One of them also, and I picked this out of a popular charismatic magazine, and the false gospel is a me gospel. It's all about you. It's all about your dreams. This is one of the generals. Now, generals is another name for an apostle, the New Apostolic Reformation. And notice the messages of these people. This is the time when I will elevate you. Right there, that should get you. God's not into elevating us, right? Now, the Bible says no flesh shall glory. A man-centered gospel, it's about me, my desires, my dreams. It always promises something new, and it's a new movement. And now as I've studied these movements for these last few years, we've all studied these movements, it's always a promise of something new. What is it doing? It's adding on. It's adding on to what he said. And I'm going to say this right here. Probably you guys all have heard of New Coke, the whole Coke story. I'm not into pop, just so you know. I'm not promoting Coca-Cola or Pepsi. But there's a truth here. For generations, Coca-Cola was the number one most popular soft drink in America. And Pepsi came in, and they wanted to target the younger generation. Now, think about this as the gospel. Because remember, I've been sharing with you about Alice Bailey. Forget the old people. We're going after the youth. And we're going to go after the youth with signs and wonders. And we're going to infiltrate the occult. We're going to get them off of Jesus. We're getting them off to other things. But we're going to use these churches. We're going to use it to get put down and destroy Christianity. So, same thing here. Just the Pepsi, they targeted the younger person. By the 80s, Coke was losing the market to Pepsi because Pepsi started having cool commercials and Michael Jackson was walking backwards and getting set on fire and all that stuff. And the younger generation started to go after Pepsi. So now Coke's going into this trauma. They wanted to get this next generation, so they decided to make a new Coke. We're going to make a new Coke. And what did they do? They added a lot of sugar to it. They changed the formula. People got furious. They got angry. They said, we like the old formula. Why are you changing it? Back then they got letters. They didn't have emails back then. They got letters and phone calls. And they said, we like the old formula. The day that New Coke was announced, Pepsi gave all their employees the day off, saying, Coke, by today's action, has admitted they're not the real thing. Coke had what? Compromised, and they changed to what? To reach a new generation. So Coke apologized. This is a great market move on their part. They apologized nationally, and they pulled New Coke from off the shelves, and they brought back what they call now the classic Coke. Why, or when you have a classic, you don't need to change it for the new generation. We have the classic. We have the Bible. And we don't need to change it for a new generation. We don't need to change it for the Message Bible, which I've thrown mine out, and the Passion Bible, and some of these other ones that have taken scriptures out. People go, oh, all Bibles are good. No, they're not. If you study them, they take out and they omit important scriptures about the cross and the blood and the deity of Christ. These are important truths. But if you keep on changing Bibles, oh, you know, you get the drift. You don't realize, no, this is part of the New World Order plan. And I read their plan. They said, we will change the Bibles and very few will notice. Well, we notice because we've studied the New World Order. We know what they're doing, right? So you have to warn, especially the new generation, what are they using? They're all using the Passion Bible. That's the Bible of the New Apostolic Reformation, where they change. Remember, he went to heaven, all these visits to heaven. He saw this new book that's coming in. Well, they actually wrote me and told me to get that off of my YouTubes. Well, I'm saying it again. Because they've changed the Bible. They've added to it. So anyway, she's saying in this thing, this is a time when I will elevate you. How can you tell a true teacher or a false teacher? The false teachers make you feel like you deserve a crown, where the true gospel leads us to a cross. The false puffs you up, and they're all talking about you. And the Bible says that we need to pick up our cross and what? Deny ourselves. This false gospel elevates self. And like we shared with you before, Robert Schuller, Norman Vincent Peale, 33-degree Freemasons, don't believe that Jesus is the only way. Hello, how many know that's a change? No, we know that Jesus is the only way. It has not changed. The Bible has not changed. He said, if you want a relationship with him, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, to finish her prophecy, and be careful when they say the Lord said, she said, the Lord says, this is a time of increase when I will elevate you. I'm going to, and I'm missing a lot of this, I'm just going through the highlights. I'm going to open surprising doors. I want to elevate you. I want to multiply, increase you. Look at how many times they say you. The Lord says, now be careful when you say the Lord says, when the Lord did not say. Have you ever had kids and they'd go and they'd pit mom and dad against each other and mom says, I can go? Oh, okay. Well, why'd you let them go? Well, they said, you said. Be careful when you use other people's names and authority. The Lord says, come away with me, my beloved. Come away and ask me how to elevate yourself. I desire to take you to the places of your dreams. This is the new day of elevation. Don't be discouraged. Don't be upset. The elevation has already begun. Cooperate with me, says the Lord, and I will take you to the level of your dreams. Not sad. And this is mainstream magazines, and this is what a lot of people are falling for right now. They don't read their Bible. They're waiting for their next guru to give them their next word of what God's saying. Now, in Acts chapter 16... Acts 16, let's look here. We're going to look at this scripture, and we're going to see religious witchcraft in the church. It's not new, but the end of the age, we're going to see this a lot. And grandparents and parents, we've got to prepare our kids for this, because if you're not sounding an alarm for these trends that are going on in the false doctrine and all this stuff that's coming in the church, you're going to have so-called believers doing everything the world does. You're going to see no separation. They're all drinking. They're all doing everything the world does. There's no calling apart. There's no separation. It's the mixture. And remember, God hates a mixture. Now, in Acts 16, in verse 16, and it came to pass as we went to prayer. Now, this kind of makes you mad because they're going and they're doing the right thing. We got saved. We were hungry. We wanted to do the right thing. So we looked up to teachers we thought that were teaching us right things, right? Well, now we have to make sure that what these teachers and what we are all teaching lines up to what God says. Because what these new prophets are saying, it's a new movement and it's a new path. So guess what? They don't check things out with the Bible because now this prophet's going to heaven every week. And all these different things that they're doing, they don't want to be questioned. And if you say, well, where's that in the Bible? They'll call you religious, you're divisive, you're a hater. And what are you getting? You're really getting persecution. And guess what? We're supposed to be getting persecuted for the truth. If we are a believer, Jesus said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. Why is this world in love with the modern day church? Because it's not preaching the true gospel about repent, get saved, get right with God. What they preach is how you're going to have your best life now. All your material things you ever dream you want. They take scriptures and they twist them, and they, guess what? They're famous. They might be famous before men, but guess what? There comes a day we all have to stand before God, and this is where we need the fear of the Lord. Are we preaching what God wants us to preach? Are we preaching to draw crowds to make us look good? We have to all judge our motives. So here it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, now look at this, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now, today we'd say that's a prophet. That's someone that has supernatural knowledge, and let's put them on our prophetic team and give them a word. Hello? He said, the same followed. That word in the Greek means to accompany closely. They followed them very closely. Paul, and cried unto, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto you the way of salvation. They were speaking truth. Now, this is the thing about the occult. They do know truth. They do know some things. Fortune tellers do know some things by demon spirits, the Bible says. But we're, Deuteronomy 18, to have nothing to do with divination. We're to have nothing, nothing. We shouldn't even look similar to the occult, right? So here it says, but they did something. They were a meal ticket to their masters. Beware when people are just raising money and it's given words for people and people give them money. Guess what? The gospel's free. God's not going to, there's so many false prophets that puff up and they are always having to give words, but you know, God doesn't do that. I'm seeing more and more that these people are operating out of a wrong spirit. The spirits of the Most High God would show unto us the way of salvation. This they did many days. They kept on saying the same thing. What they're saying was true, but what? It was grieving. Paul, he was grieved, and he turned, he didn't say it to the girl. He said to the spirit. This is why we have to know there are demons that inhabit people. He said to the spirit, do we believe in deliverance? Absolutely. He said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her. She came out the same, and he came out the same self hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their what? Gains. They used this person for money. When they saw the hope of their gains were gone, when you take away somebody's meal ticket, boy, I tell you, look what happened to them. They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. They weren't troubling the city, they were troubling them. And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitudes rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to what? Beat them. Because they exposed the false religious deception, they got persecuted and they got abused, right? There's a cost when you stand up and you tell truth, because when we've been going along with all these trends and everything's wonderful, it's great, but when you come against them, boy, you fight, you get a little pullback. She said, these men are the servants of the Most High God. What did he do? Paul rebuked the wickedness that was disguised as Christianity. He didn't want his followers to think that was of God. We're going to have to do the same today. If you're a true preacher today, you're going to have to say who the wolves are, because you don't want your sheep devoured. If you have a true heart for God, if you're in any kind of, you're going to have to study the false. The false preachers, the false movements to know and call people out of it. She said, these men are the servants of the Most High God who show us the way of salvation. What she said was true. Paul knew the source was demonic, and he rebuked it. As a result, the girl's owners lost their meal ticket and had Paul and Silas beaten and thrown into prison. Again, when people start losing their flow of money, they get upset. We're not in the gospel to get money. Church is not a business. And this is a sad thing. It's all been set up now to be a business. And that's why I believe everything that can be shaken will be shaken. God is shaking things. People are waking up and saying, some of the things I've been taught don't work. I confessed 50 times I was healed and I'm still not. Why isn't this working, this law of attraction? Because God never said that was going to happen. And prayer is more than just saying something. It's not demanding and decreeing. It's we make our requests being made known unto God. Then we have to check our motives. Are you doing that out of lust and greed? If you are, God says, I'm not going to answer that prayer. You're asking amiss. So I'm not even going to answer that. And then we also have to seek the Lord's will. And the movement we came up, you know God's will. Don't ever seek the Lord's will. You know God's will. How arrogant was that teaching? Well, because we all just assumed we were entitled. That's the problem with these teachers. They don't work. You live long enough. I've been in this 44 years, right, Barb? You find some things, you're like, wow, I thought this was true. You have to always be willing, just like that GPS lady, you have to make a U-turn, turn around. You got to be humble. In this hour, we got to be humble. We got to know a lot of things are not as they seem. We live in a different world. You can't trust what you hear in the news. You can't trust some of these things. We've got to come back to really knowing the Bible and knowing Him for ourselves. Instead of, well, we always quote what this guy says. This prophet says this. This prophet says this. Paul, and we can't either. Paul didn't give a pass to the enemies of God. He separated the truth from the occult. He separated the true from the mixture. Do you think if he was living today, he'd call out the false prophets? Do you think he'd be easy on them? Jesus died for us with his blood and his life. He doesn't take it lightly. That's why he says in Matthew 24, let no man deceive you. In the end times, before your coming, what's going to be the sign? Spiritual deception. Many are going to come in my name. So the greatest part of deception is going to be in the church. It's going to be in his name. So Paul didn't give a pass to the enemies of God. He made it clear, and he didn't want his followers to be misled. Passive endorsement finds its roots in the political fear of man wrapped in a false doctrine of tolerance, allowing a mixture of unity at all costs generation. Well, you believe what you believe, and I'll believe what I'll believe, and see the mixture that's coming in? Tolerant, we all have to tolerate. Now some of the biggest churches are, oh yeah, we accept this, we accept that. We accept a lot of people, but because we get saved, we change. Sin is sin. God just says, I want us all to repent of sin. But it's definitely a plan of the Antichrist to bring in this mixture to water down the true gospel, and the people can't really get saved and get delivered. That's sad to me when people say, oh yeah, I accept it. Well, we accept it, but there also is a deliverance that we all need. None of us are perfect, right? But we need to keep changing and growing. A favorite children's story, you guys have all heard of the emperor runs around naked, where the townspeople smile and go along with the farce. And then it just took one little boy to say, hey, that guy doesn't have any clothes on, right? He spoke truth. The emperor has no clothes. Well, that's what we have to do. There's a lot of stuff going around in his name. There's a lot of teachings going around that are so-called Christian. There's a lot of movements. There's a lot of things going on. Big name preachers telling us you have to unite now with Rome. Everything, we're all one. If you don't understand that we're moving towards the one religion very fast, you need to start studying and do your research, because we are definitely in a day of revival, but it's a revival of the occult. It has to come, but you don't have to be a part of it. It's going to happen. The Bible says so, the book of Revelations. Now, he tells us not to be a part of soothsaying. Here it says, they brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. It's divination. It speaks by disguising as a prophet. Most would have put her on her prophetic team again, because she's very accurate and she's very positive. You know, the word positive is never in the Bible. Soothsaying is a fortune teller. In Webster's 1828 dictionary, the act of foretelling events, prediction, and prophecy. We think that's part of our services now. we have an active prophet on staff. Well, what are they doing? Who are they prophesying? And the other thing is, somebody might have something, but then as they keep doing it and perform over and over and over again, it almost becomes like a show. It becomes entertainment. It becomes part of the service. And most of that is very inaccurate. It's very false. And the Bible says it's worthless. So Paul and Silas had uncovered a religious con game, a demonic deception, pretending and under the seduction of religion. The result? They were accused of troubling the city. What did they really do? They troubled the masters of that girl, who were actually in what? Control of the city. Division, threat to unity. The soothsayers were the false prophets. They manipulate undiscerning crowds. And that's why I think they also want to get rid of the old people. They want the young people to be totally into all of this because they're undiscerning, they don't know, and then they'll just tell you, Mom or Grandma, you're just old-fashioned. You don't get the new move. You don't understand what God's doing now. They stood against religious witchcraft, and this is exactly what it is. It's religious witchcraft in the name of prophecy. Divination in the Latin means foresee or to be inspired by a god. It uncovers hidden knowledge by supernatural means associated with the occult. Now, a lot of these guys, they say they have an angel that speaks to them, and when that angel appears, William Branham, when the angel comes, he gives them supernatural knowledge. This is divination, and this is the occult. We were raised to think that this was a signs and wonders movement that we all want to be a part of. Until I studied William Branham, you're going to have to do this on your own. You have to do your own research because otherwise you're not going to get it. If somebody else tells you, it's just another person telling you information. But when you do your own studies and when you see what these movements were based on and you start seeing, wow, this has been an end time deception that we've all been a part of. The Bible tells you what? You have to come out. Come out from amongst them. This is the hard part, but God will show each and every one of us how to come out. So Paul and Silas had uncovered a religious con game, a demonic deception, pretending to be under the seduction of religion. The result, we saw the division. Soothsayers, again, are false prophets. They manipulate undiscerning crowds. And here we see that Paul stood against religious witchcraft. This is the hardest to see and to come out of because it's all in his name. And you want to believe. But think about all these people over the years that have prophesied over you, and guess what? It didn't come to pass. What were they doing? Flattering you, lifting you up. They stood against religious witchcraft. Again, division in the Latin means to foresee or to be inspired. It uncovers hidden knowledge. And in the occult, they said they would peep. They would peep into the spirit realm. Now, when God wants us to know something, he tells us, right? And he shows us. We don't have to peep. We don't have to do things. We don't have to strive. And we don't go to activation seminars to activate our gifts, pay for our gifts, what they're doing in these supernatural schools of ministry, which are bringing in tarot cards, which are bringing in a lot of the occult, because they say the New Age has a lot of stuff that we as Christians need to know. There's so much truth in the New Age movement and the transcendental meditation, all these things. So the young people are like, yeah, we want it all. We want the full gospel. See how they're suckered in because nobody's standing up and saying, this is witchcraft. This is sorcery. This is divination. They don't even know what divination is because they've never studied it out to know that the devil will come as a what? Angel of light. So when it looks like it's God, wow, you better have the Bible in your belt because you say, you know what, that's not in there. It might look good, might sound good, but it's not God. Just like Paul and Silas had to do. Sounds good. They're saying the right thing, but my spirit is grieved. And lastly, it uncovers hidden knowledge by supernatural means associated with the occult. It involves soothsaying. What is soothsaying? Fortune telling. God doesn't want us to know the future some of the times. He wants us to walk by faith. So why are we going to these prophets to get words? Get back into our Bibles. That's how we were raised. Oh, we want to get called out. It started happening in the 80s and the 90s. It uncovers hidden knowledge. From the ancient times, now get this, divination was used to gain knowledge and to make money. To gain knowledge, don't ever go to somebody to get a prophecy for $1,000. I have seen this. You say, oh, that's so far out. No, it's not. That's not God. None of that's God. God doesn't abuse you in his name and take money from you to give you words. Okay, lastly here, I'm closing down. The airplane is coming down to a landing. Take a breath. Deuteronomy 18:10, God tells us, there shall not be found among you anyone who practices divination or teller of fortunes or interprets omens. Jeremiah 14:14, he says, the prophets prophesy lies. Where? In my name. They don't come in the name of Buddha. They don't come in the name of Hare Krishna. They come in Jesus' name. So you'll suck it up, right? The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesied unto you a false vision. They're giving you a vision. It's false. And divination, what again is divination? It's acting. It's an act of fortune telling or foretelling the future, peeping beyond the veil. We need to walk by faith. We need to trust the Lord. We need to read his word. Faith comes. He's going to show us what we need to know. We aren't going to have to run to some guru fortune teller, right? Or get mixed up with all these new moves, so-called, to get people. I'm just saying, it's the simpler the better. Get rid of all the stuff man added on. We got to come back to the true gospel. Because the day we're living in, things are being shaken. The economy's being shaken. Famine's coming in the land. There are things that are happening that these people don't want to tell you because they are building their own kingdoms. They're getting people so focused on their kingdoms, they don't realize the kingdom of God is within you. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. So we have to get people saved. Our mission is to get people saved. There are bad things happening. Do you see what happened in the Bahamas? Today I read about how many people in Japan died of heat stroke. Thousands and thousands, because the weather is changing. There's weather wars. There's lots of things going on. We have to make sure we're calling people to make sure they're right with God. They're not off on some fluffy dream, some fluffy prophecy. They have to face reality. And reality right now in the worlds we live, it's changing. Reality is changing. But we can face it because we don't have the fear of man. We have the fear of God. And let me tell you what the fear of man is. This is my second closing. The fear of man, when the people are big and God is small, who are you serving? We got to check ourselves. Are we serving God or are we serving man? The fear of man is when people are big. We do everything to please people. Well, what if that preacher is no longer preaching the Bible? They're going the opposite way. Some of us have had to make some rough decisions. We're not going to go the way of man. We've got to go the way of God. He's the one that saved us. We're going to have to stand before him in his gospel. What did he tell us to do? Are they adding on or taking away from the gospel? The fear of man has its hooks in all of us. The need for approval, the fear of disapproval, the need for acceptance, peer pressure, not fitting in. We don't want to leave some of these churches. All our friends are there. What are they going to think? Fear of criticism, rejection. What happens when you're walking in the fear of man? You become a shapeshifter. You change. You change because you want to fit in. You want to please everyone. You don't want to hurt anyone. You don't want to get rejected. Change your opinion, your personality to fit in. You're overly concerned with what other people think. And, I don't want my pride and my ego hurt. So sometimes I just compromise and change a little bit, like the new Coke. You know, we'll change the formula. But the first step to get out of the fear of man is to acknowledge it and to see it and say, Lord, I don't want to walk in the fear of man. I'm walking in the fear of man. My priorities have to change, so I want to change and please and honor God. I want to make choices to act in obedience to the Lord rather than instead of the approval of my flesh. I pray for the help and the strength to overcome the thoughts of what do people think. And what happens when you get delivered from the fear of man? You walk in the fear of God, and the fear of God delivers you from every other fear. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these scriptures. that are in the Word that show us that we're also coming back into a time of religious deception, of when the occult mixes in, says the same thing, looks and sounds just exactly like it's truth and right. But because we've had no one really stand up and tell us about deception, and we haven't learned about discernment, a lot of these false wolves have entered in, and they have devoured people. And there, many people are not serving God today because they've been disappointed by who they thought was you, but it's really been man. It's been false teachers and false preachers coming in your name, and it's devastated people, and they no longer even go to church. Lord, we pray for them this morning. We pray for those that are backslidden, that have been wounded and hurt. And Father, I pray they'd come back to their first love, just like you're calling all of us to come to our first love. Lay down everything that you're not involved in and go and seek after you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. We promise to give you all the praise and all the glory. And everyone said,
Amen. We just want to share a quick message with our YouTube audience. First, we want to thank you for being here. We know that your time is valuable, and we don't take it lightly that you choose to join us each week. We really appreciate that. If you have found our messages helpful, we would ask you to please click like and share these messages on your social media to help get the truth out. We also just want to introduce that we're a small fellowship of believers here that want to bring people back to the truth of God's word and follow the real Jesus. We do life together, and we see you as our extended church family, and we would love to be able to do life with you too. We would invite you to connect with us on our private Facebook group. You can find a link for that below in the description, or you can search for us on Facebook by looking for LIHPC Online Church Fellowship. Please find us there and send us a message that you'd like to become a member, and we look forward to connecting with you. Many of you have taken time to write letters or send emails. We find that a great encouragement and a blessing, and we thank you. We really look forward to getting to know you better online as well. Lastly, if you see us as part of your church family and you would like to support our ministry, we have a link below in the description that you can click to donate to our ministry. You'll also find a link for that on our private Facebook group. Or you can go to our church website, which is livinginhispresence.org, and click Give up at the top. We appreciate your support and donations, and we just thank you very much for being here and being a part of our church family.